we are saved 100% by grace. Okay? 100% by grace. You are saved by grace through faith. It is not us. Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins. I'll say it again. We are saved 100% by grace, not by works. However, the fruit of our lives is the indication of our salvation in Christ.
Hello and welcome back to Live in the Light. Live in the Light is a radio ministry designed to see radical transformation through the revelation of God's Word. I'm Craig Turnbull, your host, and in a moment we'll hear from our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons, and we are in the middle of our series, which is entitled Urgency, Opportunity, and Mercy. I said right in the middle of our series, so that means that we are talking about opportunity today. God's Word has a strong truth for us in the parable of the talents that calls us away from laziness, something I think we all struggle with, to a passionate pursuit of the things that really matter in this life. It's a challenging message for sure, but one that we pray encourages you through the grace of God's Word. Let's go ahead and dive into Matthew 25 to learn more.
And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also had the 2 talents came forward saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more." And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." These first 2 faithful servants are wonderful examples for us. They are inspiring. Notice in verse 20, the man with the 5 talents, he's bringing the talents to the master. That word bringing is like a language in the original. It's a language of sacrifice. That's pretty telling right there, because the idea then of the servant is his work, his multiplication of his opportunity. It was actually a sacrifice to be presented to the master upon his return. I mean, it reminds me of Romans 12, verse 1. Present yourselves then before God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is your spiritual worship. Loved ones, all of us in Christ, man, we are living sacrifices, that we are to present our lives as such. When the master returns in some form, in some way, we will present ourselves to Jesus and say, here's my life. Here's what I've done with what you've entrusted to me for the fruit of the gospel and the kingdom. Don't be caught off guard in that regard. Don't waste it. So in the end, you got nothing to show for. That's a disaster. Jesus is loving us by warning us, saying, don't let that be you. It's a powerful imagery here. Notice a few things from the lives of these first 2 servants. Notice this. Notice the multiplication of the first 2 faithful servants. They took what was entrusted to them and they multiplied. The 5 became 10. The 2 became 4. Both were honored in the same way. They multiplied their opportunity. Loved ones, are you multiplying the opportunity God has entrusted to you? You say, how do I do that? I think one of the best ways you multiply what's been entrusted to you is you multiply yourself into other people. Are you taking what God's entrusted you with, your spiritual gifting, time, resources, energy, love, authority, whatever it is, and then multiplying yourself into other people? You say, well, I'm just new in Christ, or I don't know how to get started. Man, any one of us, in small or big ways, we can do that by serving, by encouraging, by coming alongside, by sharing our testimony, letting others know about Christ. It's amazing, right? You have the opportunity to pour yourself into other people. Is that happening? Okay, listen. This isn't just for Pastor Boy up here, all right? Like, this is for every single one of us who are alive. I'm not letting you get away with it. Because Jesus isn't. Every single person who's been entrusted with opportunity alive in Jesus Christ, you have the onus on you, as I do, to multiply what we've been given, to see others benefit and see Jesus receive glory. Notice their mindset. Here, the master returns. And here, I have made five more. They were ready. You see that? The master's delayed. They didn't know he's going to return. He shows up one day, and the 5 and 2 talent guys are like, here it is. I'm ready. Here, look, master. I've multiplied for you. They're ready. Are we ready? The mindset of readiness at any moment, and our lives can... And I think about that, and you know, so many of us, are we ready? I hope so. But just think of the amount of time we're spending on things that are just futile, useless. If I see one more 99-cent video game for a smartphone, I'm gonna die. These hours and hours and hours sitting on a device doing absolutely nothing. Fair? It's hard to argue with that. Jesus returns. Hold on, Jesus. Got to finish my app game, whatever it's called. Or one second. I'm destroying my brain right now. I'll get you in a second. I mean, in the end, it's going to happen. He's going to return. And the trumpet, there we are. Got our tablets open, doing nothing. That's a tragedy. Jesus is warning us. Notice the much. They were faithful in little. Jesus says, I will entrust you with much. Now, little in this context was actually enormous in worldly terms. The talent was so much. Can you imagine? Then when Jesus says, that's nothing, I'll give you much. I mean, that reward is going to be awesome. Notice this, the master's joy. The ultimate reward. Here's the reward. Here's the rest we long for. Here are the words we all long and live to hear when we enter into the presence of Christ at the end and we present him with that which he's entrusted to us. And he says to us, he looks us in the eyes and says, well done, good and faithful servant. Think about that, loved ones. That voice, the voice of Jesus right there, will be the voice that overrides every other voice we've ever heard. The voice of culture, all chaos, all politics, all our critics, all persecutors, all enemies. It will be the voice that silences all bullies, all accusers, all liars, all condemners, all abusers. That one voice in the end will override every other voice that has ever spoken over us ever. And that day's gonna happen, okay? Again, I want you to discipline yourself for just a couple of moments here to imagine that moment, because it's gonna happen. When you come face to face with Jesus himself in his physically resurrected, perfected, glorified body, and you can touch him and hug him and see him and talk to him, and you will, oh man, what a day it's gonna be, and you will stare him in the face, and oh, that he might look at you in a summary of your life and say, well done, my child, good and faithful servant. That's not make-believe. This is going to happen. It's going to happen. Again, at that very moment, you're not thinking about stock options. You're not thinking about your house decorating. You're not thinking about a resume. The only thing you care about is Jesus Christ and how I served him. Jesus is telling us what's going to happen. He's letting us in on the future. And he's like, I'm telling you this because I want you to live wisely and live fruitfully and live powerfully. The only voice that matters will be the voice of Jesus. But Jesus loves us enough to tell us the truth. And now it gets tough. It gets really tough in verse 24. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then why did you do nothing? That's my paraphrase. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. The master has major issues with the third servant. Why? Here's why. Number one, he was irresponsible. The third servant ignored his task. He did nothing. Again, loved ones, remember, the fact that he did nothing, that was his ruin. I need you to hear that and receive that. His nothingness brought him to his ruin. Secondly, he was lazy. He was just flat out lazy. The master calls it right out, you wicked and slothful servant. You sat on your tush and you sat on your tush. It's interesting that Jesus here, the master, equates this with wickedness. You wicked and slothful, wicked and lazy servant. It's interesting here, laziness leads to atrophy. And atrophy is wasting away, degenerating before our very eyes. I want you to consider that. How many people, literally, metaphorically, sitting on the couch, stuffing their face with whatever, just watching some screen, and just hours and hours and days and weeks and months and years and a lifetime goes by, and they are literally wasting away in slothfulness and really wickedness. One commentator said this. He said, the only thing that this third servant had to show for himself was a hole in the ground. That's going to be the plight of many people, man. Jesus returns and the faithful servants come and say, hey, I'm ready. Here's my multiplication. And there's other people sitting there in return of Jesus. And they're like, I got my hole. I dug a hole. He's like, you did what? I dug a hole. And in that moment, you're like, oh no, not good. Isn't it so sad? Please don't be one of these people, please. Some of you are sitting here right now. The only thing you have is a hole dug where the money's been hidden. The opportunity's just been, just keeping it safe. It's putting it aside. Jesus is saying that's not gonna work. It's not my words, it's the words of Jesus. It's so clear. That won't end well. Notice he made excuses. We're good at that, aren't we? In verse 24, the servant has the gall to accuse the master for his unproductivity. He says, I knew you to be a hard man, a harsh man, unkind, ungenerous. You reap what you did not sow. So therefore, because I knew you to be this way, therefore I did nothing. In fact, it's your fault, master, that I am where I am. That's arrogant. And that's foolish. And yet this is what the third servant does. He blames the master for his situation. Really? Really? I mean, think of how that applies too. Isn't that the classic sin of mankind? Always blaming others. How many marriage settings have I sat in men counseling and just, I cannot tell you how many times, it's her fault, his fault, her fault, his fault. Just, can you just have enough wisdom to say, unless you change, no one changes? And just for one moment, just be like, I'm the problem. But what does pride do? Well, it's amazing. Adam in the Garden of Eden. Eve's fault. Eve, Garden of Eden. It's the devil's fault. And then it's a train wreck, all the rest of humankind from that point on. In the end, loved ones, in the end, you can't blame your spouse. You can't blame your friend. You can't blame your enemy. You can't blame whatever. Like in the end, it's you and the Lord. It's you and the Lord. I'm not discounting situations. I'm just telling you, the text is saying, in the end, you won't be able to blame people around you, man. Some people will look at God and they'll actually blame him. You should have told me more, God. You weren't there for me. You let me down. You did this. They will have the gall too to stand before a righteous God, a perfect, holy, an awesome God who is so far above us, our minds can't begin to conceive how awesome he is, and begin to accuse him of unfaithfulness and accuse him of wrongdoing and accuse him of injustice. I mean, that just blows my mind that we'd ever get to that spot. That's what humans do. That won't hold up. It just won't. God's given us more than we could ever need. in his son, Jesus Christ, and in his precious word, not to mention the Holy Spirit living within us if we're alive in him. He made excuses and then he knew better. He just knew better. In verse 26, the master responds to the servant and says, you knew. You knew I was like this? Or you knew in your mind that you thought I was like this? You knew better. And you knew this and yet you did nothing? You see how the third servant condemns himself with his own words? I knew you to be, so I did nothing. And the master puts that back on him and says, if you knew this, surely you would have at least invested in the banks or earned interest. Anyone could have done that, but you did nothing. You knew better. And you know what? We know better. We know better to be spectating our whole lives. We know better. Let us be wise enough not to dismiss the crystal clear teaching of Jesus right here. Loved ones, our choices matter. Our lives matter. Our giving matters. Our serving matters. Our time matters. Our gifting matters. A summary statement for this entire parable is this. True profession must lead to true practice. True professors of Christ, those who profess to know Christ, must be true in their practice for Christ. Now, one of the kind of tight wires that I'm walking through this whole message, and I want to be very transparent about, is I want to be us to be 100% aware. Listen, we are saved 100% by grace, okay? 100% by grace. You are saved by grace through faith. It is not us. Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins. I'll say it again. We are saved 100% by grace, not by works. Somebody say amen, okay? Because that's good news, okay? So one more time, okay? Just so there's no misunderstanding. In light of the push towards use your opportunity that's entrusted to you, but we are saved. Salvation is by grace through faith. 100% Jesus, not one bit, not 1% us. Zero. Zero us. All Jesus. Saved by grace. Total gift. However, the fruit of our lives is the indication of our salvation in Christ. 100% biblical. Let me show you. So you got a verse for that? Yeah, I've done some homework. Ephesians 2, okay? Watch this. Watch salvation by grace explained and now the outworking of what must follow, okay? For by grace, gift, all gift, not earned. Grace is a gift. By grace, you've been saved through faith, faith in Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins, all him. And just to be clear, anyone coming here from a background where you're taught salvation by works, get ready for that to be blown up right now, okay? And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Gift is grace. It's a gift of God. You can't earn it. Not a result of works. How clear is scripture? Not a result of works that no one may boast. If my work gets me into heaven, who gets the credit? I do. That's not the way the gospel works, man. We can never do enough to get into heaven. It's all grace. But watch this. Because you are saved by grace through faith, not a result of works, no one may boast. Watch this. For we are his workmanship. Salvation by grace and faith alone in Christ alone. And yet the result of that reality is we are the workmanship of God. Look at this. Created in Christ Jesus for, tell me, good works. Look at that. Created in Christ Jesus to sit on your behind and do nothing. No. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before the foundation of the world, chose you, saved you, reconciled, redeemed you, sanctifies you that you may have fruit for him through your life, that you might take the opportunity he has entrusted to you and you might be created in Christ Jesus for good works. Titus 2 is another verse I want you to see. Again, watch. The gospel flowing into fruit, no exceptions. There's massive gospel in verses 11, 12, and 13. By the way, you can look it up. One slide couldn't fit it all, but here's the gospel. Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us, gospel, bought us from slavery, from all lawlessness to purify, gospel, cleanse us for himself a people, for his own possession, gospel, chosen race, who are zealous for good works. See, gospel, the fruit of the gospel, good works. You cannot sit there and do nothing your whole life and claim to truly know Christ. James 2. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Why is it? Works doesn't save us. Faith saves us. But works must be the natural outcome of fruitfulness for someone who's gone from death to life, from blindness to sight, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Someone who's been resurrected by the Holy Spirit, they come alive, they live now for Jesus Christ, and that is evidence and proven. Jesus said in John 15, "You shall prove to be my disciples and bear much fruit." The tension there, but it's a good tension. Your works don't save you, but your works give evidence. The fruit of your life, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, gives evidence to the fact that you are genuinely saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is why then the servant who just digs a hole and hides the thing their entire lives, Jesus says, there's no way to avoid the outcome of this passage. Jesus says, you can't really be one of mine. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, man, to wrestle all that down because it's serious stuff. Because you look at verse 28. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has more will be given and he will have an abundance. See what's happening here? It's just like, okay, so if you don't use your opportunity, you give up your opportunity. If you waste it, it goes to someone else. Someone in the kingdom. A child or daughter, son of the Lord. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And then verse 30. I mean, how do you interpret this in any other way but the understanding of hell? And cast the worthless servant into the utter darkness because they're fake, because they never knew the master. They didn't serve the master. They rejected. They pretended. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a pretty serious word, and it's not mine, it's Jesus. I'm just trying to faithfully explain it and then apply it. The bottom line here, loved ones, is we've all been entrusted with an opportunity, and Jesus is warning us right now and loving us, saying, don't waste it, don't waste it. Use it. Don't live for the world, live for Jesus. Don't do it to earn your salvation, do it because you have been saved. If you're not saved today, give your life to Jesus Christ for the forginess of your sins. Receive the gift. It's a gift. It's a full gift of grace, of love, of healing, of cleansing, of life. So we'll end here. Some of you might say, okay, so message is pretty clear. I've been entrusted with an opportunity. I can't sit around just watching anymore. I got to get in the game. Can you help me a little bit, Ravi? Yeah, that's why we're here as a church. This is our whole mission, okay? You want the best application of how to start seizing your opportunity for Christ? Right here, 5G Life. 5G Life. This should not be new to you. If it is, you're new to our church. The 5G Life is a discipleship model, and this is the single most effective and in some ways simplistic way of using your opportunity, what's been trusted to you. God time. I mean, I'm in the Word this morning with the Lord, and like, if I don't do that, I'm dead. I'm just sitting there this morning when it's dark, by myself, family sleeping, praise the Lord, and just hearing from God in 2 Corinthians 5. It's interesting. I was in 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. This blesses me so much. 2 Corinthians 5 is just, I'm reading it. I'm like, this is affirming this entire message. It's like another parallel text where it says, and Jesus Christ died for us that we may no longer live for ourselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. I'm like, that's it. That's the whole message right there. The point of our lives, don't live for ourselves, live for Christ. We live for Christ now who for our sake died and was raised. God time. You pursue the Lord, your opportunity. God time, gather time. I mean, think about what you're hearing right now. Think of all that's happening right now. If you don't show up to church, you miss this. You might be like, yeah, man, I wish I missed this today, right? But if the Holy Spirit's in you, you're like, it's a hard word, but I need to hear it. I know it's right. I can't argue with God's word. I need this. I need to be with God's people. I need to pray. I need to be encouraged. I need to worship. It's so more. I need to keep being reminded of where I need to go and who I need to be and for God to speak to me. It's just, that's why God designed his church to meet like this. Group time, other disciples. You cannot do the Christian faith by yourself. You can't do it. It's impossible. God has designed a body for a reason, a family for a reason, a building for a reason. Give time. Serving, using the gifts that God's in. That's really this whole passage too. Go time. Taking my life while I can, multiplying it into the lives of others to be on mission for God. If this looks familiar, it's right outside the wall as you walk in. And you can stand there and look at it. And if you don't know what this is, again, then our website's all over this church. And again, if you haven't seen it yet, then you haven't been here very long at all. Because this is who we are. This is who we're trying to be. This is what it means to biblically and in many ways simplistically follow Christ. We have an opportunity, loved ones. The Lord's saying to us today, don't waste it. Don't waste it. If we leave this message and we do nothing about it, what does that say? I mean, honestly, what does that say about the condition of our hearts? Remember, I have no interest in making you feel guilty, but I have every desire for you to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit exactly as I do, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Out with guilt, in with conviction, out with legalism, in with grace. Out with some kind of ritual religious facade, in with sincere, passionate devotion to Jesus, where the Holy Spirit's alive and well in our lives and wants us to be filled with him, to use our giftedness, because he's going to return any day now. Help us, Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love these people so much. I love their attentiveness to your word. I love their love for you. I love their desire to follow you. I'm so thankful for your Holy Spirit that you would encourage each and every one. Again, I strongly pray out with guilt, but help us to welcome conviction. Thank you for these truths. I wouldn't have written down these things the way you have, but I'm not you. And I'm thankful you are you and you love us by telling us the truth and in grace. And may we receive it today. Hearts that are struggling, Lord, I pray they would surrender to you, not to a pastor, to a church, or to a form of discipleship. I just surrender to you and just say, Lord, here's my life. I want it to count while I can. And child, please know that here today, you might have felt you've squandered your whole life. There's so much grace for you. Jesus just pours on grace and he says, all right, now go and sin no more, right? That's what he does. All right, so now we're in the place we need to be. Now let's get going in the right path now. He says that to you today. He's like, I forgive you, I love you, and now I wanna use you. So let's get after it together. Not to earn favor, but to respond in love.
Well, a convicting message today from God's word, to say the least. We're so thankful that you have tuned us in today, and we believe that there are no accidents in God's plan. We believe that God had an appointment with you to sit and to listen to that message and even to be challenged and caused to grow through God's word today. So if that's you and you're saying, yes, I need to make some changes. I need to make some commitments to God that I've never made before. I need to even for the first time follow the Lord Jesus. I believe he is who he said he is. Then it's time for us to reach out to him. And we'd love to hear from you if that's the case. Please make sure you dial us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. We'd love to talk to you more. Or you can connect with us through our website at liveinthelight.ca. Again, we'd love to hear from you. That's all today. Again, from Live in the Light, we hope you tune us in again tomorrow. God bless.